Well, we've already talked about that this is Vision Sunday, and we're introducing this theme or these ideas of come, grow, serve, go. These ideas are not new to us here at Harvest. We've been using them for some time as part of our next steps emphasis, and so you've probably heard these words around. We've tweaked them a little bit in recent days, but it's basically the same emphasis. The idea, though, is this, that, and I hope this resonates with you, that wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, and every person in here is at a different place. Some of you are just beginning in your journey, and you're figuring things out, and you're asking spiritual questions. Some of you have been a Christian for a while, but for whatever reason, you seem to be stuck. Just feel like you're not moving anywhere. Some here are Christians, and you're members, and you're serving, but you're facing some challenges, and you are trying to figure out, and you sort of need some help in navigating whatever's going on in front of you. And then there are some that you've been Christians for a while, and honestly, you would be mature believers. And you're here, but you want your life to count, and you want to keep growing in your faith. And along that spectrum, I think maybe all of us could find ourselves in one spot or another. So every person in here is at a different place, and I hope that's encouraging for you. Actually, I think it's healthy. In a healthy church, there ought to be young believers and believers along the way as we are figuring things out and growing in our faith. But personally, for you this morning, wherever you're at, we want to help you take the next step in your spiritual life, in your spiritual walk. And we want to help you to be able to identify what that next step is and then give you the encouragement to take a step out of your comfort zone, out of that place that you feel like you've sort of settled in, into the next step that God has for you. What we're trying to say is that everybody has a next step. The question is, what is God asking you to do? We all should know two things. These are sort of forming the foundation for what we're going to talk about this morning. Number one is that you never stand in one place in your spiritual walk. I mean, it's impossible. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You can't stand in one spot. That's the first thing. And the second is that we know that the spiritual life was never meant to be lived alone. We're meant to walk in community. We're meant to walk alongside brothers and sisters in the faith and help each other along the path. And these two ideas are so critical for how we see, I think, how the Bible describes the Christian walk and the Christian life. And it's important that we keep coming back to these ideas as sort of the foundation for who we are and what we're doing. I want to tell you about these things from Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, if you haven't already turned there, let me invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, turn to this page in your Bible. We've looked at a few of these verses before, and we're actually going to pick up the main idea this morning in verse 13, but if I can back up to verse 8 to give us the context and put these pieces together. The end of verse 8 tells us that the context is spiritual gifts. In fact, that's really the wording that he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. He gave spiritual gifts unto men. And then right after that phrase, we've got a parenthesis. And verses 9 and 10 actually have parenthetical marks before and after, and they sort of say it's a little bit different idea. So what we could do, in fact, I've actually done this, I have a little arrow that's drawn from the end of the last word of verse 8 to the first word of verse 11. Because they're connected, they're forming the same idea. Verse 11 is moving on from the conclusion of verse 8 minus this little parenthesis. And verse 11 then says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. All right, so God gave spiritual gifts to the church, and he gave them in form of spiritual leaders. In fact, the gifts that are mentioned, there's more than just these, but the gifts that are mentioned in verse 11 Our leadership gifts. I mean, they're sort of pastoral and leadership gifts. And you can see those defined in verse 11. And then it goes to verse 12 and it says, these gifts, these pastoral leadership gifts, were given for a specific reason. And that's what we get in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And again, just to make sure that we're tracking with this, grammatically, these are sequential clauses. And what that means is that one clause moves into the other clause. Sometimes in language, you know, you have three different phrases and they all are like equal phrases. But in this case, they're like one moves into the other. So we could almost say it like this. For verse 11, he gave these gifts and he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. And their job was, in order that they would do the perfecting of the saints, or your translation might say to equip the saints. That's the pastor's job, the leader's job, to equip the saints. And then we have these sequential phrases, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, in order that the body of Christ would be built up. I mean, they move from one to the other. The pastors and leaders, spiritual leaders' job is to equip the saints in order that the saints would have the tools in order to do the work of the ministry, in order that the work of the ministry would be accomplished in the body of Christ being built up. All right, does that make sense? Okay, all of that is leading us to verse 13. Where it describes what the result of this kind of equipping should look like. It says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Especially that last verse, the phrases kind of come together a little bit. I hope that we'll be able to explain exactly, I think, what that's talking about, because it's really important for us as we view our lives and as we view God's church. I'm going to try to knock this out in the next 25 minutes or so. I don't know if you have any belief that I can do that or not, but I'm going to do my best. I knew that we had some things at the beginning part of the service, so I'm going to try to outline this and give you some applications that connect with this idea of come, grow, serve, and go. So here's the skeleton structure of the teaching this morning. The church is to do at least three things for every believer. All right, that's what we're going to see in this text. The church is to do at least three things for every believer. And here they are. Number one, the church is to help us all to grow up into spiritual maturity. That's verses 13 and verse 15. In fact, look at them again. Verse 13 says, till we all come. And then it says a couple phrases after it. If you were to diagram this verse, I think the main phrase would be this, till we all come or become unto a perfect man. That's sort of the main idea, and the other ones are modifying it. All right, so we all become a perfect man. It doesn't mean that you're like perfect, you never do anything wrong. That's not what it's talking about. Some translations might say mature, and that's the idea, or complete. Perfect is the Old English word that means complete or mature, right? So the idea is that these gifts would be given, the pastors would utilize them in order that the church would be equipped in order that we could all come to this mature, unto a perfect or a mature man. The idea is that we would grow up in our faith to maturity. All of us. Everybody. God does not want any Christian to be a spiritual infant, to be a spiritual baby. He wants all of us to grow up. And in fact, the teaching of the Bible is this idea of discipleship is the continual process of a believer growing up in their faith. We're going to talk about how you do that in just a minute. I think the text tells us that. But we ought to know, first of all, we're supposed to grow up in our faith. We've all read stories of children who were left unattended by their parents, and the tragic story that we might have read in the newspaper or seen in a news program where all of a sudden you have a child that's left for days or weeks or sometimes even months early on in their life and just not cared for at all, not attended to at all. And at some point somebody comes along and rescues this child. And even though they are a certain age biologically, you know, the months that they have lived have brought them to a certain age, they remain immature sometimes physically and emotionally, and they don't have the motor skills that a child of that age would have, and they don't have the verbal skills and the emotional skills that you would think a child would have at a certain age. What happened? Well, they're left unattended, and the result was they did not grow. They did not mature at the rate that they should have. Listen, there are some Christians like that. They just have not grown. And sometimes it's the responsibility of that Christian. They became a genuine believer, but they just never really became part of the family. They never, took steps that would help them to grow. Sometimes that's the case. But really, I would put the responsibility for children that have not grown up in their faith, I'd put the responsibility on the church. Because, I mean, how is a child to know what to do in order to grow up? You don't look at an infant that was left unattended and blame them for the fact that they haven't grown up spiritually. The problem was the parents didn't take care of that child in order for them to grow. And this has happened in too many churches. Way too many churches. And our burden is that they wouldn't happen here. So we have a job. The pastors have a job, and their job is to equip the saints in order that the work of the ministry would take place, in order that God's people that God puts in as spiritual babies, they would grow up. They would be brought along, and so they could understand what steps they should take and how they should go about it in order that they would mature spiritually. Does that make sense? Okay, that's what this is talking about. So God wants you to be growing spiritually. And a lot of people, their experience is that I became a Christian, and for whatever reason, it might be the church that I was a part of, it might be any number of things, I never grew spiritually, and I've just sort of stayed at that same spot. And I just want you to know that's not God's intention for you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to step by step grow in your faith and grow in your spiritual maturity. That means you're going to have to be fed. That means that you're going to have to exercise your spiritual muscles. And that's what a healthy church is supposed to do. A healthy church provides a place, and it provides direction, and it provides the relationships that are necessary for this kind of growth to happen. Well, what does that mean? This spiritual growth look like? How do we grow into spiritual maturity? There's a couple of indications in the text. Let me just mention them really fast, okay? Verse 13 and then verse 15 describe them for us. I'm going to say them four ways. It looks like teaching, right? The unity of the faith is a phrase, and it means Bible teaching that brings unity. We have to have teaching in order for us to grow. Number two, it looks like knowing. It says, till we come unto the knowledge of the Son of God. So it just means knowing Jesus. And part of your job as a young believer is to learn to know Jesus. You say, why is this so important? Because according to Hebrews 1 verse 3, it says, Jesus is the exact imprint, his express image of the Father. So if we're going to know about God, who he is, what he does, how he acts, what kind of a, you know, person he is, we can understand that by looking at Jesus. God himself is a being. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. It feels like as humans, it's so hard for us to understand him. But one of the things God does is he gave us his son in human, living, breathing form. We can know about Jesus just like we can know about any other human in any other historical setting. In fact, even more, because we have so much that's written about him. And every time we know more about Jesus, we know more about God. You should never be confused about who God is, because he gave the express image of his character through his son, Jesus, and we can know him. We can understand that. So it looks like teaching. It looks like knowing. It looks like changing. It says, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's changing to become more like Jesus. I'd say it this way. Maturity is not marked by how much we know, but how what we know has changed how we live. Sometimes I think in some churches that I've been around in the past, it feels like maturity is sort of based on how much you know, how much Bible knowledge you know, or how much theological understanding you have. And I'm all for, in fact, we need to know the scriptures. We need to have theological foundation. But that's not the mark of maturity. You can have all kinds of knowledge and have it not change you. If you're a Christian and nothing has changed about who you are, or nothing is currently changing about who you are, you live just like you always have lived. You respond just like you always have responded. You treat people just like you've always treated people. Then I'll just tell you, you're not getting it. The scripture and knowing Jesus causes us to change into his likeness under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus. That's what he should be doing in your life, changing us. So it looks like teaching, it looks like knowing, it looks like changing, and it looks like speaking. That's verse 15. Tells us to speak the truth in love to each other. Okay, so we said the church is to do at least three things for every believer. It's to help us to grow up into spiritual maturity. Number two, it's to protect us from getting off track. That's verse 14. Has anybody ever felt like verse 14? Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine? Boy, this is so easy today because we have so many voices coming at us. Listen, you are being formed. I am being formed, I'm being discipled by the voices that are coming at me. We call this spiritual formation. Everybody is. So it's essential that we have the right voices bearing the right weight in our life, and we're very careful about the other voices that we have. This understanding of building a foundation of our faith in order that everything that we would hear would come in and would be ciphered by this foundation is so critical for us. And if we don't have that, we're going to feel like we're tossed to and fro and things come at us. We're like, I don't know what to think about that. Everything seems so confusing. It's because that foundation maybe needs to be laid a little stronger, a little better in that area. And this is what the church does. By the way, that foundation is always growing. You are going to have times in your spiritual life when you come up with questions. You're like, man, I don't know what to think about this. It feels like this and feels like that. Does that mean that you don't have any foundation? No, it just might mean that you have to, in that area, your foundation needs to be grown up a little bit more. That's what we should be doing in the church, in the teaching ministry, because it helps protect us from getting off track. And it's so easy to get off track. Then here's the third. It inspires us to live purposefully by using our gifts to serve God and to serve others. Verse 16 gives us this picture of a body where every single part is specifically and intentionally designed. And when every part does their part, then the body can accomplish amazing things. And we see that. And this is true in the church. When we are inspired by those around us to live purposefully, not just for things that are unimportant, but to live purposefully by using our gifts to serve God and to serve others. When everybody in the body does that, then it's amazing what a body can do, what it can accomplish. But if you have a body where there's parts that aren't serving and they're just sitting, then the body is handicapped and it can't accomplish what it should. I hope that you sense that this is lived out here organically at Harvest. You say, well, what does all of this look like here? I mean, what's it look like to help us to grow into spiritual maturity, to protect us from getting off track, to inspire us to live purposefully by using our gifts to serve God and to serve others? What does that look like here? Well, again, I hope that you just sense that it just happens. It's sort of lived out organically, but we want to be intentional about it as well. And so we put it in these terms, the terms that we're talking about this morning. And hopefully it's simple, clear, maybe memorable. I mean, that's the idea. What does it look like to be a growing, active participant in the Harvest family? Not a spectator, but a participant in the Harvest family. Well, we think it looks like this. We think it looks like come, grow, serve, go. And we want to ask you to do some thinking about where you're at in this spectrum. Where are you at in this spiritual walk, in this spiritual journey? And really what the next step is for you so that you can keep moving and you can keep going forward and you can keep growing. We're going to come back to these four things over the next 2 weeks, the next couple of weeks. But I want to give you sort of a flyover real quick here this morning about the four of them. I'll just list them for you. Number one is come. And this is an invitation to see what Christianity is all about and commit your life to Christ and to His church. This is the invitation to come and see. This is the call that Jesus gave over and over again. He said, come and see. Listen. Understand. Find out. Hear. Come and see. Every week there are people here. In fact, it might be you this morning that are here because they've been invited to come and see. It might be an invitation by somebody else. It might be just their own prompting. It might be the Holy Spirit saying, hey, just go and see. Come and see. And to you, this is an invitation for you at this spot to come. We invite you to join in the services, to listen to God's voice through His Word. We'd invite you to join a Bible study. If you want to stop by the Welcome Center on your way out, you can talk with somebody about, hey, maybe that's the step I'd like to take. I've been coming, but I'd like to join a Bible study and find out a little bit more. We'd like to invite you maybe to join an ABF. We talked about that this morning, an Adult Bible Fellowship. They're going to be beginning next Sunday night in the evening services. In fact, if I can put a little plug in, you know, sort of a selfish plug, I'd love to invite you to come to Discovery Class. Discovery Class is a class that I teach. It's a one-year curriculum. It's designed as sort of just a basic understanding about what the Bible says about life and what the Bible says about how we should live and what we should believe. And it's an awesome class. It's a group of people that are discovering what the Bible has to say. I'd love to invite you to come and join us. You can come at any time and just pick up where we're at. All right, so come. Number two is grow. It's an invitation to become established in the essentials of the Christian faith and growth, and that's what we've been talking about. But man, for some people, spiritual growth just seems so overwhelming. In fact, they've tried to take some steps spiritually or be part of a church before, and it always ends like disillusioned. And they're confused about what it looks like to grow and how that should happen. They haven't been growing. And we just believe that discipleship is a lifelong process and it takes place one step at a time. And we want to do everything that we can to make those steps as clear as possible so you're able to come and say, boy, what's my next step? What is God calling me to do? And then do it. So that's grow. Number three is serve. It's an invitation to use our gifts in ministry, service. I'm not embarrassed. We're not embarrassed or reluctant at all to call you to get involved in serving ministry. This is why you're a Christian. You are saved to serve. It's your purpose. One of the things that we've been learning is that Jesus was not reluctant to ask all men and women to drop everything and to follow him. And I don't think we should be embarrassed to say, hey, listen, come along and use your gifts and serve your Lord through his church. Let me tell you one thing. I'm going to come back to this probably 2 weeks from now, but I mentioned this in the first service. I think Harvest is a sleeping giant. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Napoleon once pointed to a map of China and he said, there lies a sleeping giant. If it ever wakes up, it will be unstoppable. It wasn't that Napoleon was saying there's not a lot of activity going on in China, but just this idea, if there was this really clear purpose where everybody bought in, was a part of it, man, it would be unstoppable. You know, the last few Sundays, I don't know what attendance will be like this morning, but over the last few Sundays here, we've had nearly 650 people in our services the last few weeks. I don't know what the number is here. I didn't check, but in most churches, 10% of the members do 90% of the ministry. I mean, that's sort of just a common idea. I think, in fact, I know that we're much better than that. We have much better than 10% that are serving faithfully. But man, I think about this. What would happen if 650 people all together just kind of rolled up their sleeves and said, boy, we're going to find out how we're gifted and we're going to serve. We're going to serve God and we're going to serve his church. And we have to go back to the drawing board. We'd have to think about the ways that we could impact the island. But man, this is what God's called us to do. And it's the dream that every person that calls Harvest home would say, how do I serve? And how do I use my gifts and give them to God? And the last thing is go. We've actually been talking about that already some this morning. It's an invitation to a lifetime of going, of being on mission, of caring for people and sharing our faith and building bridges for the gospel all across our island and around the world. I believe that you measure the health or the strength of a church by its going capacity rather than its sitting capacity. It's why I love, you know, that we have a lot of people that hear. That's not how you measure the strength. You measure the strength by whether we're fulfilling the mission of going, which is what Jesus called us to do. Man, you guys, we are right here on one of the most strategic mission locations in all of the world. I mean, it absolutely is. If you could put a dot in the globe of the most strategic locations in this globe, Guam is like right in the center of one of the key spots. Those of you that were born here, those of you that have grown up here, man, God did something amazing for you when he planted you here. I mean, he planted you here right in the center of one of the most important strategic mission outposts in all the world. He planted you right here. What an awesome thing. For some of us that have been relocated here, I'm planted here. I mean, I feel that I think as much as anybody, but I know it came a little bit slower. I figured it out a little bit slower than some of you guys that God wanted me here. And there's many others that relocated here. Some of you guys will be here just for a little bit. I'm just telling you, in this little bit or the longer part of time that God has you here, man, God has put you in one of the most strategic mission locations in all of the world. There's literally no place in the globe that I think you could go where the opportunity for impact is any greater than right here. You've probably heard someone say, that Guam, you know, is sort of in the middle of nowhere. And I heard that the first time I flew here. And, you know, when you're flying here for the first time, it does feel like it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, it didn't take me very long to find out from a missional standpoint, Guam is in the middle of everywhere. I mean, it really is. It is in the middle of everywhere of ministry opportunities all around this place. And I just believe that Harvest is located in one of the most strategic ministry places in all the world. I don't think there's another place like it. And our burden is that we, you, me, us, that this generation of Harvest, because we can't look at any others, not the ones that were before, and we're not yet looking at the ones that are going to come in front of us. It's us. It's our responsibility right here. This generation of Harvest would take the foundation that we have been given and has been laid, and we believe that God wants us to continue to build His church. Not as a fortress, not as a campus that's sort of out here away from everything, but as a launch zone that would launch us off this place, prepare us here, trained, equipped, so that we can go off into the neighborhoods all around us and then to the islands around this region and the region beyond. This is what God has called us to do, to go, to come, to grow, to serve, and then to go. And I want to ask you to pray in the coming months that you're going to be hearing and going to see, some go groups or go teams spreading out across our neighborhoods and across our local islands. We talked a little bit about mission trips. Actually, I don't know if they're going to be called go groups or go teams. I made that up this week, but I liked it, so maybe. But it'll be called something. But we're going to see ways for you, for me, to go to the needs of the neighborhoods around us, individually, in groups, as a church, because that's what we're called to do, to go. And I want to ask you, if God's placed you here, you're part of the harvesters, I want to ask you, what does it mean for you to go? I'm going to ask Lisa if she'd come. We're going to close here in a minute. Before I close, I want to come back just for 1 minute to the come word. Come and see. Because there may be some here and you are hearing Jesus call to you to come and follow me. It might be that you've been hearing that voice for a while, but this morning it's as if the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, that's the next step for me. Come and see. Come and follow me. It might be that you've been holding off or you might have been holding back. And this morning I want to invite you specifically, purposefully, I want to invite you to come to Jesus. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, it's Jesus' words. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in. I will fellowship with him and he with me. And that's God's invitation to you this morning. Come and see. Come and follow me. If you'd bow your heads. I want to ask you this morning, just before we close, to ask this question. What is my next spiritual step? Because we all have one. Discipleship is a lifelong process, and it's taken one step at a time. So everybody here, we have a step, and I think God wants to identify it for us. I don't think he's trying to confuse us about, I don't know what I should be doing next. So I want to ask you to pray about this. You might not know what it is right now. You might. God might be identifying it even as we're speaking, but maybe not. But I promise you this, if you'll pray, God, what is the next step that you want me to take in my spiritual growth? I think he's going to reveal it to you. So I'm going to ask you to pray that. Pray it this morning. Pray it in the coming weeks. God, what is my next step? What do you want me to do? And it might fit in one of these areas. Come, grow, serve, go. But it might be more specific than that. And I just want to invite you this morning to pray that prayer as we move through these next weeks. might be some of you need to ask and think about getting involved and taking steps of membership. Foundations class is starting back up next Sunday. You could join in next Sunday. If you stop at the Welcome Center, they'll tell you how to connect with that. You might need to take a step of being baptized, or you want to join with a group that have rolled up their sleeves and are serving. That might be your next step. And it might be that some of you here, might just be one or two, but you have heard the call of Jesus to come and follow me. And this morning, if you'd like to talk with somebody about that, if you just say, I've got some questions, I'm thinking through some stuff, can I invite you to stop me on your way out the door?